All right. Let's all stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures. We're going to hear the sermon, Dallas Malice. Revelation 18, verse 23 and 24. And the light of a lamp shall not shine in you hereafter. And the bridegroom and a bride shall not be heard in your hereafter. Because your merchants were the great men of the earth. Because by your pharmaceuticals have all the nations been deceived. And in her is found the blood of the prophets and saints of all those having been slaughtered upon the earth. You may be seated.
Good morning. Well, it's become rather self-evident lately that Babylon is spiking the frequency of headline violence. By spiking, I mean the addition of intoxicants into adult beverages. They are serving spiked drinks, and drinks are on the House of Cards. House of Cards is an idiom going back to 1645 and means a tiered structure, a tiered plan, organization, or argument built on a weak foundation or a precarious balancing act, with the slightest wrong move putting it in a constant state of imminent collapse if a necessary element is removed, which is often overlooked or unappreciated. Well, what has been removed from our society? It is God. Have public and private schools fallen apart because of forced integration and the removal of prayer and our Bible? Only a blind fool could not see the spike in teen violence, suicide, drug and alcohol abuse, illicit pregnancy, and divorce. Even America's first dictator, Abe Lincoln, knew the consequences. Quote, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will become the philosophy of government in the next. And it has. K through 12 years of Marxist indoctrination has created a state of mind communist wrapped in the red, white, and blue mobocracy. The religion of secular humanism is taught in the schools today, whereby right and wrong, moral and immoral behavior is a matter of a so-called free will. Children are thus allowed to self-approve their lifestyle of sin. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, said an occult Satanist. But the God of the white race said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Hosea 4:6. Our children have been taught the philosophy to love all races and religions contrary to the Word of God. If a child today deviates from what the government deems correct, they are labeled with the hate tag. They are nurtured to fear the government. But the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Conversely, the fear of today's government is to love evil. The flip-flop of calling good evil and evil good is a clear and present danger. Does any Christian really think that their will is free to contradict God's will? The Age of Enlightenment removed the intellect to discern the difference. the illusion to engage in the manufacturing of legislation. Making laws of man is not something that is in the cards for a Christian society unless those laws are in harmony with Scripture. If that's what they think, then they've surrendered their children to a very violent future. They've cursed their posterity with legalized plunder. There's nothing good about the white race abdicating their God-given responsibilities to defend the faith. In fact, white liberals defend the alien gods as if America is a religious dumping ground, a spiritual landfill full of dry bones. Once upon a time, we had white power and peace because we were God-fearing and felt the pangs of sin. We knew when we were wrong because the new covenant was animated in our racial consciousness. The law was written in our heart and mind, and we were self-aware. The only white guilt was rejecting the knowledge of God's will. Hate was and is and always will be a family value. It's a mechanism for survival. Today's values are an imitation of life. The concept of civilization has become an outdated Western motif of manifest destiny and white privilege, which is subtly being removed from the university curriculum and replaced with a new world order. Failure to hate government that terrorizes the good and not the evil is the opposite of what a Christian must do to be obedient and blessed of God. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger, who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. This nullifies the concept that the government can do no wrong. If any minister teaches that Romans 13 means to obey the godless and those who hate the Lord, then expect a biblical reaction. The Bible is about cause and effect, right? We have the God-given right to not only resist tyranny, but to obey God rather than man. History proves that multicultural diversity and the principle of antinomianism becomes a culture of violent lawlessness. It is not hate that foments such a development, but the spirit of malice. A better translation of Jude 19 says, "These are those making divisions, animals, not having the Spirit." It's from the Christogenia New Testament. "These are the non-white bipeds whom some of our people think are just like us. If that were the case, there would be no need for Genesis 3:15. In 1 Peter 2:8, we read, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Who's this talking? It's talking about Jesus. "Even to them which stumble at the word," stumble at Jesus, "being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Evidently, there are a people who have a destiny of lawlessness. And the contrast is with us in the very next verse, which we are quite familiar with. But you are a chosen generation or race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, so that you should show forth the praises of him, meaning the rock in the previous verse, who has called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. An alien stranger is offended by the God of Israel because Jesus Christ came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and the marriage supper of the Lamb can only be with a bride whom the bridegroom loves. Does that mean our Savior hates other races? Yeah. They were appointed. We just read they were appointed to be disobedient. It is a biblical principle that lawlessness, which is interchangeable with evil, is detestable and hated vociferously. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, but it prevails in the present until it's taken out of the way. Taken out of the way. What did Jesus call himself? The truth, the life, and the way. They're taken out of Jesus. The adversaries of God are the strangers because all they have in the way of religion is their strange gods. Our God divorced Israel because she was whoring after these same strange alien gods. Verse 8 goes on to say that this mystery is going to be revealed and then destroyed, which is in tandem with Obadiah. If you are offended by Christian identity proclaiming our hate for the mongrel, you are offended by the word of God, a rock of offense. The word was designed to be a stone of stumbling for those who have no divine calling, no eternal destiny, and no love for an exclusive kinsman redeemer. It is the fear of God which we predicate our hatred upon, not the malice of God's Spirit. The malice of God's Spirit, there's no such thing. God is not ever mentioned as being malicious, nor should we. King David understood the difference. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and despise those that rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. David did not say he had a perfect malice, because malice is not endemic to the white race. Hate here is used in the sense of opposition. We are opposed to those who are opposed to our God. Of course, there will be some numbskull from a Bible college or seminary that shoots off his big mouth with, "But the Bible says love your enemies." Which begs the question, love your personal enemies within your own race? Or love the enemies of God? David just said he hated those who hate God. And James 4:4 confirms that. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We don't love the enemies of God, period, because the alien stranger does not love our God. That agape love is reserved for the race of people to whom pertains the new covenant exclusively. By the same token, we have no malice towards the enemies of God any more than the approach of a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, which is an idiom explained in Proverbs 28:15, a wicked ruler. We resist wickedness out of hate, not malice, to love and obey the law. So what is it about malice? That it is something we are commanded to rid ourselves of. Colossians 3:8, Ephesians 4:31, 1 Corinthians 5:8, 1 Peter 2:1 all say the same thing. Get rid of that malice. The Greek word for malice is kakia, number 2549 in Strong's, and means malignity, malice, ill will, desire to injure, wickedness, depravity, wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws, evil, trouble, end quote. Now the first definition, malignity, connotes an intense and persistent predisposition to cause injury or death. The modern technical term for such behavioral deviancy is sociopath or psychopath. We can only conclude that all hybrids of lawlessness have these tendencies to a greater or lesser extent, which is why they have a propensity for crime and statistically populate prisons more than the white race. Their genetics have been short-circuited and mixed blood and can never recover from being impure. Christianity doesn't want to face the fact that the Bible is an admonition for racial purity. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, the blessings and the curses, we read about those Israelites who don't want to get racist. This is what will happen if we reject the law of God. The stranger, the racial alien that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against you. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, a nation whose tongue or language thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance. In other words, their appearance. And it gets worse if you read on. Neglect the racial message of God and you will suffer. Verse 66 says your life will hang in doubt. Our enemy, as a judgment from God, is not our own race, although we are responsible. You may be thinking, that sounds like radical Islamic terrorist. But it is the Jew who brings in the dark hordes of marauding beast. This is nothing short of having an intentional racial climate of malice and fear. Just look at Europe. Kakia is translated 6 times as malice, 2 times as maliciousness, and once as evil, wickedness, and naughtiness. Matthew Henry, commenting on Colossians 3:8, says, quote, it is our duty to mortify our members which incline to the things of the world. Mortify them, kill them, suppress them as weeds or vermin which spread and destroy all about them. Continual opposition must be made to all corrupt workings and no provision made for carnal indulgences. It is necessary to mortify sins because if we do not kill them, they will kill us. The gospel changes the higher as well as the lower powers of the soul and supports the rule of right reason and conscience over appetite and passion. It is the duty of everyone to be holy because Christ is a Christian's all. His only Lord and Savior, and all his hope and happiness, end quote. It's the doctrine of Balaam. To cast a stumbling block before Israel to commit fornication and race mixing. The malice of miscegenation is mass suicide, leading to the total extinction of our race. Destroying what God created and destroying God's plan for the ages. Well, maybe, not if we wake up. Likewise, the stout Christian man is to hate the sinner as well as the sin and not be ashamed to obey God's law of justice, God's law of judgment with justice and mercy. The racial alien has not known them. The racial alien, on the other hand, is not ashamed to break laws, especially God's law, because they never received them, and therefore have a spirit of lawlessness. The law is not written in their heart and mind. Therefore, they are predisposed to a bitter mindset, wishing evil upon someone or something. It's a bloodlust that most white people are simply not familiar with because it's been promulgated from cradle to grave that non-white strangers can have the mind of Christ. Should the heathen learn the way of Christ? God forbid. We can now more easily understand why God's law said, and when the tabernacle moves, the Levites shall take it down, and when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up, and the stranger, the racial alien that comes near, shall be put to death. They were executed for the same reason weeds are removed from a garden. It would be a more cruel fate for Israel should they allow the stranger in their midst. Which brings us to current events. Since my last sermon on July 10th, which focused on the Orlando Holocaust, there has been an unimaginable succession of headline murders worldwide. Last week, on the 14th, in Nice, France, 84 people allegedly died from a semi-truck mowing down pedestrians in a purported Muslim terror attack. On the 15th, there was an alleged military coup in Turkey, a key geopolitical hotspot. Nearly 300 killed and thousands arrested. I suspect that the corrupt regime in power is a surrogate of the Israelis, being that ISIS oil from captured refineries are funneled through Turkey to the Jews. It's also a major funnel for drugs coming from Afghanistan into Europe. The Bush crime family has been a major exporter of heroin from the Golden Triangle for decades, according to former Green Beret Colonel Bo Greitz. Ironically, the Clinton crime family is very cozy, with the Bushes having an interest in smuggling drugs into the U.S. also. Party politics be damned. Just Google MENA Airport. According to online statistics, there are daily acts of terrorism, vile atrocities, which we never hear about in the mainstream media. In the United States, we have a succession of Negro and police shootings. The summer of racial discontent is in full swing. In the world of life imitating art, that is Hollywood's bipolar addiction to guns ablazing with a liberal serving of blood spatter, and then celebrity gun grabbers demanding obsolescence. It is now depicted in the manufactured news as killer racist white cops blowing away innocent unarmed black youth. A discernible dialectic from Ferguson, Missouri, to create Black Lives Matter, in which the truth is thrown out the window and replaced with a comedic justification for outrage. Why do the heathen rage? Psalms 2:1. It is clearly accommodated with a sympathetic Oval Office and a corrupt morality. Are we witnessing state-sponsored terrorism thanks to the thespians of Obama, the Manchurian candidate having no valid birth certificate? Follow the money trail, and it leads back to the malice of a monster, Jew, George Soros, who underwrites terrorist groups in the United States. I have discussed false flag operations before, and they are real covert attempts to fool the public and place the blame on imaginary culprits. 9/11, Sandy Hook, Aurora, Boston, Orlando, and many, many more are examples of verifying a conspiracy. It is more easily facilitated by the fourth branch of government, the Jewish media monopoly, to mold public opinion. We are living in an era of heavy-duty deception, which is the Jews' choice of weapon in their war against Christianity and the white race. Such a phenomenon is ostensibly exploited in countries where the populace presumes to have inalienable rights. And we do in the Israelite nations consisting of the 12 tribes. However, the game is played in such a way to make you think all is lost. That would only be true if we lost our identity, as happened to Israel after the Assyrian captivities. The lost sheep that Jesus came for have been captured again. Only this time, our people have been programmed and processed like cattle into the heart of a satanic matrix. Our national soul is being robbed in the malice of Antichrist propaganda. It's killing us, and the people love to have it so. What good intentions remain in our society is a terror to the good, not the evil, so that we as a race surrender our God-given rights for the sake of national security. Perpetual war for perpetual peace. Orwell knew what he was talking about. That is, Jewish communist in republicrats' clothing. The shock treatments will continue until morale improves. After two fatal shootings in Minnesota and Louisiana of Americanized Africans by law enforcement within 48 hours, a retaliation assassination in Dallas, Texas, killed 5 police officers, wounding 7 others. Dallas Police Chief Negro David Brown said that during an hours-long standoff with police, the Negro suspect told them, quote, he was upset about the recent police shootings and wanted to kill white people, especially white officers. The reality of dealing with the police is that you either comply or it escalates. If you're a nigger with an attitude and a rap sheet a mile long, it can be fatal. Police don't shoot innocent citizens for no darn good reason. What low IQ Negro consumes from the Jewish media, the hysteria of breaking news, a steady diet of race baiting, it is no wonder that the potentials for a false flag can then consume them. Even pander to their latent animal instinct of malice. And that is what the media whores do. They are the cause of inciting useful idiots to do idiotic things. The incident in Minnesota was the result of police stopping a vehicle that matched the description of an armed robbery suspect just a few days before. The video posted on Facebook by the suspect's girlfriend said they were stopped for a busted taillight, which was a lie. The suspect told the cop that he had a pistol and he was licensed to carry, which was a lie. The cop gave him and the girlfriend orders not to move. But the suspect moved anyway, allegedly reaching for his ID and wallet. The cop then shoots the suspect, thinking he's going for the gun, and his life is in jeopardy. The video records the cop saying after he fired for the girlfriend to keep her hands up and said, quote, "I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand out." How does the media represent this story? They don't. They portray a white cop killing an innocent black youth for absolutely no reason. Just cold-blooded murder. The cop was not white, but a mestizo. And yet another needed lie to grow exponentially against white people. The suspect's mother said, "I know my son. We know black people have been killed. I always told them, whatever you do when you get stopped by the police, comply, comply, comply." End quote. That's what she said. Obviously, her son thought he was above compliance and went to the grave with an attitude. Are cops supposed to wait till a suspect has a gun in their hand and points it? Give me a break. I'm not a cop and I wouldn't do that. The incident in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, was the result of a 9/11 call of a Negro suspect brandishing a gun at a convenience store, threatening people. Police arrived and yelled at the suspect to get on the ground now. But the suspect didn't comply. And an altercation immediately ensues, wrestling him to the ground, whereby the suspect is shot and killed as he tried going for his gun. This Negro was born in the image of malignity. Not God. He was a convicted pedophile, child rapist, gangbanger with the Notorious Bloods, a drug pusher, and owed $25,000 in child support. As a convicted felon and loser, being in possession of an illegal firearm meant that he was going back to prison. How does the media represent this story? They don't. They get two double bonus shootings handed to them on a silver platter, and they're off to the races, playing the race card. The media said he was a good father of five. Yeah. Let us now look at the anatomy of a false black flag waving over Dallas and the spirit of malice that followed the aforementioned incidents. Do you believe the media tells you the pure, unadulterated truth? Or do they have an agenda? They are telling America that the police are killing innocent black people. If you believe that, then you'll also believe that blacks, as a race, are innocent, or that there are good ones and bad ones, but God forbid they are all bad. Ever hear the cliche, give them an inch and they'll take a mile? If you allow someone to behave badly at all, they will start to behave very badly. They may even think they can get away with murder. And that's just the politicians. The root of inner city ghettos is that non-whites should not dwell in our land at all. Logistically, they could be deported without much fanfare. But instead, they are pawns in the game, confined to concrete jungles, being totally dependent upon the small g god of government to provide them with the necessities of life. They are jobless slaves whose work has been given to other non-white illegal aliens. They have been conditioned to rage and riot with malice, just as much as Pavlov's dog was salivated at the ringing of a bell. I can't say it's not the Negro's fault that they're like that. They choose to play the game willingly. A gun is pointed at their head only when they are under the delusion that they are invincible, as much as a pit bull. The malicious groups like Black Lives Matter rationalize violence and mayhem and are blessed from above. No, I don't mean from God. I mean from the self-appointed messiahs in the offices of president and attorney general, and receive a free pass to do evil. Then we, white people, can better understand the nature of the beast empire surpassing Western civilization. Because of Obama's inflammatory rhetoric, lighting the fuse that ignites the American caste of the lowest of the low, an excuse is generated for disarming white Christian Americans for their guns. After all, we're racist, even if we're in denial. The hue and cry of the antithesis is to pave the way for an emerging militarized police state armed to the teeth against a defanged nemesis, the law-abiding white Christian American. The House of Cards delicately has a stacked deck, a pyramid scheme, where every town and city is governed at the federal level. It's Red Dawn without the parachutes at the beginning of the movie. Will this improve life for the poor Negro? Of course not. Pawns are pawns. A few people know that nothing good is coming out of the frequent flyer menagerie of malice, whether black flag or false flag. Put a few mind-controlled snipers and or radical Islamic terrorist into the mix, and you have an insatiable feeding frenzy promoted by the breaking news of yellow journalism. and you have some real people dying and fake people dying being narrated by the drama queens of Anchor News. The real terrorists are government sponsors that follow their own money trails. Therefore, the media whores are just as complicit in terrorizing what is good. If these bastards get enough people to take their bait, they might get lucky enough to declare martial law during the perfect storm of a presidential election. Be advised, the government is ready for an insurrection. Why else would 67 non-combatant federal administrative agencies like the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, even the Smithsonian, the Department of Education, the VA, etc., need an increased budget of $1.48 billion courtesy of Sissy Boy Obama to arm 122,000 federal employees with body armor, riot helmets and shields, cannon launchers, and police firearms, ammunition, and the power to arrest you? This is like the guy selling raw milk being under siege by a SWAT team, for crying out loud. The day after the GOP convention and Trump's rather apocalyptic speech, Obama made a surrealistic prophecy of outright deceit, saying, this idea that America is somehow on the verge of collapse, this vision of violence and chaos everywhere, doesn't really jibe with the experience of most people. End quote. And I heard him live when I was eating my lunch say that. You know, what did he just say? I couldn't believe it. I had to look it up again. But it's funny because the violence and chaos is his vision or the plan of his puppet masters. It's knee-slapping hilarious that John Kerry's recent statement to graduates at Northwestern University was to prepare for a borderless world. Wow. As well as Obama's intentional slip to graduates at Howard University to, quote, be ready for profound change in our society and our economy. Another wow. Really gives the grads something to look forward to as they launch their careers, right? Trump says, let's make America great again. Whereas Hillary says, it's already great. Things are just fine. But the high-pitched debate has already begun as to which candidate is most evil. Ironically, hours after Obama made his what me worry punchline for the day, another terrorist attack in Munich, which certainly jibed with the Germans. It seems to me that the two presidential candidates are terrorizing each other. And the echo heard by most Americans is that a lot of corrupt Democrats are going to prison. In fact, as I was watching the convention, they were chanting, lock her up! Lock her up! Or that Obama is so petrified of Trump that all of this violence and chaos will be his excuse to declare martial law and postpone the elections. I mean, he signed enough executive orders during his tenure to do just that. Since the Dallas assassination of five cops, there's been copycat retaliations. In Baton Rouge, as previously mentioned, the day before the GOP convention, a Negro shooter kills three policemen and wounds three more. He was an ex-Marine with an AR-15. SWAT team kills suspect. In Kansas City, a police captain responded to a drive-by shooting in a black neighborhood and was shot and killed by over 20 rounds fired at his patrol car. Many more cops have been killed in other states with racial overtones, and the media is quiet. They already have their prefabricated news story in Dallas. I happened to be up that night or early morning when the drama unfolded with the Black Lives Matter protest in downtown Dallas, and it was just winding down, and all of a sudden, gunfire erupts. I heard with my own ears the first live reports on CNN that there were at least three shooters. The reporter on the street kept using the term triangulation, which ironically has been suggested by conspiracy theorists of another assassination in Dallas in 1963. In fact, most of these false flag shootings have more than one shooter or accomplices or perhaps handlers who magically disappear down the Orwellian memory hole. And of course, what follows is the usual blather of gun control. What turned out to be, according to the script, the lone nut assassin was cornered in a parking garage. The next thing that happened was totally bizarre and has never happened in America before. Of all the options that the police could have employed, like a non-lethal flashbang grenade or knockout or tear gas, dogs, water cannons, etc., they instead chose to use a robot that bombed the suspect into eternal hamburger. I kept thinking of the Terminator for some reason. There are getting to be so many of these false flags that are riddled with more questions than answers and just plain sloppy stories that make the news incredulous, that those who have investigated the conspiracy can't tell whether it's a psyop, a psychological operation, or a crisis drill, or an actual loose cannon going postal. The one common denominator, and the reason for my title today, is that there is a deep state of malevolence, which is close to malice, wishing evil to others. Somebody is wishing evil, and I know who they are. I'll give you a clue. They are not white, and they are not Christian. We can dissect these headlines of death when one contingent wishes evil upon another by taking note of a mix between one, cognitive dissonance and malice, and two, a mix of executive action and malice. The first mix takes advantage of individual patsies, the mentally insane, and mind-controlled, sometimes referred to as MKUltra. And these three categorically always wind up dead. The second mix is under the control of contractors, having a deliberate motive of military direction and covert intelligence units. And under these three, the individual almost never dies. Several of the false flags run parallel with drills, which are a dry run of wet operations, called such for the spilling of blood. None of these wicked conspiracies could succeed without the element of malice in the planning and execution of the propaganda objective. Sometimes there are secret think tanks who research and develop the conspiracy, who are separate from the actors involved in the staging area, as well as post-conspiracy participants who cannot identify the planners or actors. Let me ask you, is it wishing evil to say in a religious book, quote, Jesus is punished by being seated in a cauldron of boiling excrement for eternity, and that the Roman general Titus, meanwhile, is punished for eternity by being burned to ashes in Gehenna, or hell, and then reassembled and burned again, perpetually? It can, in fact, be found in the Babylonian Talmud. Can you think of anything more sickening, depraved, or wishfully malevolent than this celebrated cornerstone of Judaism? We are poised at what seems to be an artificial crossroads with the pinnacle of contrived good and evil. But the Christian does not face a crossroad where we have to make a deal with the devil. Quite the contrary, we don't play their game. But we do wrestle against rulers, against authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places, meaning the government. And our weapon of choice is the truth, because they hate the truth. And the truth is, a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. And fools will not wander on it. Isaiah 35, verse 8. Our love for God's law is considered hate because it would destroy the wicked. Therefore, the wicked have no other choice than to try and destroy us. The New World Order is the manufactured breakdown of laws out of order with God, only to be replaced by more repressive laws of godless men, with more police shootings, armed and unarmed, good and evil people, more snipers shooting police, more gratuitous global and domestic violence, and more political dialectical theater between two presidential candidates equally soiled in personality and unaccepted for leadership. It makes no difference between Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Both will destabilize the economy through endless wars, escalating racial tensions, polarize the populace, heighten tensions through a show of force, intensify the use of violence, and then when all hell breaks loose, clamp down on the nation for the good of the people and the security of the nation. A poem. Tweedledum and Tweedledee agreed to have a battle, for Tweedledum and Tweedledee had spoiled his nice new rattle. Just then flew down a monstrous crow, as black as a tar barrel, which frightened both the heroes so they quite forgot their quarrel. Lewis Carroll's Looking Through the Looking Glass and What Alice Found There in 1871. I know it's difficult, even for some identity Christians, to have the vision to see the evil that surrounds us. Most white Christian Americans would rather relegate our mortal enemy to some cosmic evil when the evil is quite earthly? Christ knew who wanted to kill him. Why don't we know who wants to kill us? We have been conditioned by the enemy to regard the adversaries of God and our race as basically good enemies and bad enemies. But a good enemy is an oxymoron, just as would an evil friend. From 1984 to 1992, America was subjected to industrial strength propaganda to convince white people that blacks were good, like us, because God created Adam, the first white man. If you believe the universalist, like Ken Ham, all other non-Adamites were also created by God and therefore couldn't possibly be declared evil by God. Whether it was before or after Adam is immaterial. The premise of today's sermon is that malice is racial. Specifically, that God had nothing to do with mongrelization and therefore could not declare the mongrel good. There is only one man that God created, and that was Adam. He was the only race of mankind, the only species or kind after kind that God called good. There really is no such thing as a black man, per se. Babylon means confusion and embraces mongrelization, the confusion of seed lines. I wonder how many white people were brainwashed because of the Cosby Show, which inculcated this lie in people's head for 8 years, that the Huxtable family, starring Negro Bill Cosby, was an upper middle class Americanized African family where the father was a wise, kind, and benevolent obstetrician of all things. The mother was an outstanding professional attorney. They had 5 well-behaved children and lived in Brooklyn, New York. Any white family would have been proud to have had the Huxtables as neighbors. The problem was and is no such black families exist in real life. According to TV Guide, the show was TV's biggest hit in the 1980s and almost single-handedly revived the sitcom genre and NBC's ratings fortunes. Money is king. The joke was on us. The real life tragedy was and is this celebrity beast was a serial rapist who would drug his victims, mostly white women. They were too afraid at the time to go to the police because Cosby was Dr. Huxtable in people's minds. Who would believe an aspiring actress? Well, after decades of pain and suffering, over 30 women have come forward to prosecute this demon. And it is now, finally, going to trial. God couldn't give us a much bigger wake-up call than this. It is not an atypical anomaly within black culture. It is the malice within. The violence is within their blood. It is a sign of the times. If you think we are all of one blood, then you need to be deprogrammed. Their program is over. The powers that were are still playing the equality card. Every Negro is an O.J. Simpson. Let Genesis 3:15 be true. God put separation between us and them because we are begotten from above and they are not. Subsequently, violence would ensue until the destroyers are destroyed. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Indeed, when Paul wrote these words, the Jews had nothing but malice towards the first century apostolic church. And they've had it for 2,000 years. And after 2,000 years, the adversaries of God have not changed. Lies and murder are with us now. Malice is behind the curtain. Hate is in the street and Walmart. Our people are being destroyed. They are being manipulated into cheering for their own enslavement while being distracted with the nonsense of why the heathen rage and the dialectics of false flags. The status quo remains static because God has been removed from the churches. We are exactly where Israel was in Ezekiel 23:30. Thou hast gone a whoring after the heathen. And because thou art polluted with her idols. But there is a righteous war that is not fratricidal, nor instigated by the Jews in Ezekiel 25:15. The Philistines are described as acting in vengeance. Quote, and took revenge with malice in their hearts, and says their hatred was ancient or everlasting. That's a long time. This is in contrast to the verse just before, in verse 14. And I will execute my vengeance upon Edom. Talking about the Jews. By the hand of my people Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger, and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God. In other words, the white race, true Israel, will eventually eliminate Edom, the false Israel, the Jews, without the malice of claiming one's own vengeance. Why? Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. We have the honor of receiving his delegation of authority when we identify our race as the only recipients to do his will. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. We're not quite there yet. So we can be in a readiness to go to war, but we need to get our act together spiritually. I just watched one of those videos with a guy on the street asking average people really easy questions on the 4th of July. Like, when was the Declaration of Independence signed? Name two people who signed it. Who were we declaring independence from? One person after another had taken their stupid pills for the day and didn't know. or made some wild stabs in the dark. When you're dead, you don't know it, but others do. And it's the same when you're stupid. The weapons of mass destruction don't have to be bombs anymore. All you need is a public education. The following anecdote is why our hair is on fire. An Irishman by the name of Paddy was driving down the street of the big city in a panic-stricken sweat because he had a very important meeting that required his presence. And he was driving around block after block and couldn't find a parking space. Looking up to heaven, he said, "Lord, have mercy on my pitiful predicament. If you find me a parking space, I'll go to church every Sunday for the rest of me life, and I'll give up me Irish whiskey." Just at that very moment, a parking space miraculously opened up, and he slipped right in there. Paddy looked up again, and he said, "Never mind, Lord, I found one." Just as the convention was getting underway last week in Cleveland, following weeks of violent headlines in Europe and the United States, a local news headline said, "One killed at anti-violence party, two others shot." It was called Stop the Violence Beach Party. Police said about 250 people were there. From what I could discern from a short video, it was not 250, quote, people, but rather a chimp out of 250 Negroes going ape. A good place to be if you're not white. Here's a stat to scratch your head with. More white people are killed by cops than blacks. According to the UK's The Guardian newspaper, 1,001 Americans killed by police in 2016 thus far are 502 were white, 250 were black, 163 were mestizo, and the rest were other ethnic groups. Once we see the dishonest distortions of counting Hispanics as white, 90% of all violent crimes in America are committed by non-whites. Why then don't white people go on the rage and riot when the opposite of an ethnic gangbanger, a real family man and white Christian patriot like Lavoy Finicum, is murdered in cold blood by the FBI? It's because we have the breath of life. The Spirit of God is in our genetics. We're made in the image of our Creator. No other animal on the planet has this supernatural identity except for us. And no other biped has been given the Great Commission to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit to bring forth the kingdom of God. Christ said he only came for this one race of people. They were lost then, and they're really lost now. But the same divine purpose remains: to develop a perfect racial consciousness, to bring about the fall of Babylon, the house of cards that has impersonated the house of Israel for way too long. This fraud of universalism can only live with the last breath of life, the spirit of malice, the end game of mongrelization, the death of the white race. Whose side are you on? God or Satan? the collective non-white adversary upon the earth. If you think they are part of God's creation and God has an eternal plan for them, then you're not with God. Sorry. And I saw a woman intoxicated with the blood of the saints and from the blood of those bearing the testimony of Jesus. John the Revelator, beholding his vision, was just flabbergasted that his own people, nearly all white Adam kind, killed in the bloody wars instigated by the Antichrist Jew, were killed by their own brethren. This is the same woman who went whoring after strange gods and whom God divorced because of their religious fornication. I have to mention one last thing which caught my eye last week at the GOP convention, and that was the vaccination of religious sorcery in the invocations, benedictions, and prayers to inoculate Republicans from accusations of being politically incorrect. Believe me, they were politically correct when the schedule included representatives of interfaith poison. Muslim, Sikhs, Jewish, Orthodox, and Christian persuasions. However, the latter faith could be broken down into Mormon, televangelist, and Catholic. The first two were black. A black Mormon and a black evangelist who said, quote, I'm going to, I can't even imitate this guy. He was just as bombastic as you could get. He says, I'm going to pray and I'm going to give benediction. And you know why? Because we are electing a man in Donald Trump who believes in the name of Jesus Christ. End quote. Well, from a Christian identity perspective, this disingenuous, twice-fold for obvious reasons, one, allowing a stranger Negro to officiate over a supposed body of Christ, and two, there is a disparity between Trump's self-serving lip service and being an actual servant of God, which would be reflected in the way the convention presented itself. It was all gift-wrapped in the Simonized shine of universalism. And the light of a lamp shall not shine in you hereafter. I think because of that despicable convention, anger God so much. It's like he divorced Israel, but he didn't divorce Judah. Judah skated, and so will Hillary. I think she will be elected the next president. We're going dark, and it's time to get racist. Dallas, Malice, and more is coming to a program near you. Are you with the program? Or are you with the shining light of glory? This is an election year, but the election of God is missing in action. I was really expecting riots or a terrorist attack, the way the media whores were frothing at the mouth for months before with incessant fear-mongering, until I read that both party conventions get $50 million each for security. A total of some 5,000 federal agents and state police from around the country. Every local cop in Cleveland there was equipped with an assault rifle and body camera. An identity friend of ours from Cleveland told us all the roads leading to the downtown area were blockaded. I wonder if they had robots that can terminate people they don't like. Best to give up our freedoms for a little security, right? Well, this is the malicious thinking of Obama. He said, "I think it's important to understand that you can't have 100% security and then have 100% privacy and zero inconvenience. We're going to have to make some choices as a society," end quote. Well, I'm one white Christian identity American who agrees with Ben Franklin, who said, "Those who give up a little essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." Now, Ben wasn't pitting the two against each other, but aligning them together against the surrender of a righteous government, starting with self-government, a concept in contempt of vertical politics with power going from the top down, essentially playing God without any safety net. Babylon will fall because it's built on quicksand. I'll stand my ground. They will have to take away my heritage from my cold, dead fingers. And on that happy note, I can't wait for next week's Dog and Pony Show in Philadelphia, crowning Hillary Queen of the World. Thank you.